This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. We are taking your calls today at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. We're also taking your emails at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And many of you, you've reached out on social media. Chris Brown On Air is the handle on all social media platforms, so be sure to reach out that way. We are taking your calls about what? If you're new to this show, you're like, why are we taking calls? We're taking calls about stewardship, what the Bible says about this life, how to live it God's way, and how to live it for His glory, not ours. And there's a lot of responsibility with that. There's a lot of weight with that. And actually, in yesterday's show, I shared with you two verses that point towards the fact that it's not just a responsibility, it's also a privilege. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." We may participate. We get to participate. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to," we're able to "give as generously as this. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." We're able to give. And giving is something that's for us, not something that God wants from us. So this whole idea that it is a privilege to be a manager for the God Almighty. Stay tuned for the entire show. Later on in the show, we're going to actually be talking about the posture of a steward. And obviously, privilege is part of that. But we're going to break down what are the five or six characteristics that go into the posture, the proper posture of a steward, the proper perspective of a steward. So make sure that you stay tuned for that. All right, phone lines are open, and it looks like we got Gina on the line from Fort Lauderdale. Gina, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, my position has been eliminated at work, and they're letting me go with a severance, a very generous one. And I have the option of my 403 because I work for a not-for-profit. We're in the middle of baby step two. We have about $14,000 left. And that's about how much I have on my 403, $15,000. In the middle of all this, we have paid we're halfway through our baby step two, which we're very excited about.
Good.
But also at the same time, we're kind of like desperate to just get it over with.
Oh, I bet.
But I am pregnant and I have a child.
Uh-huh.
So I wasn't sure if it would be best for me to take out the 403 since we are really young. I'm only 26. My husband's 27. I could make up this money down the line in my career path for retirement.
Okay, so
I wasn't sure. Should I take out the money and just put it towards my debt and be done with baby step two so I can move forward? Because it will save up so much out of our budget, you know, from paying debt. And we can move forward just saving.
So if I said, "Hey, Gina, why don't you go and take $100,000 of your money and use it, all of it, all $100,000 to pay off that $14,000. You lose all $100 to pay off the $14,000. Would you do it?"
Oh, no.
No, you wouldn't do it. And that's exactly what you'd be doing. If you pull out that $14,000, first of all, you're only going to get $10,000. You're going to get taxed and feed on it. So that's going to be ugly. You're only going to get 10, so you're not going to be able to pay off your debt anyway. But you're going to be giving up all that opportunity cost of $14,000 growing for the next 40 years. And so that's why I don't want you to do that. And I know a lot of folks are thinking in like, okay, well, she could just pull 10 and it's probably going to save her about $500, $700 in interest because now she's going to have it paid off in like a month or two or maybe 2 or 3 months instead of paying it off in the next 3 years. So if you think about the interest. So I know you're thinking that way, but I want you to think through opportunity costs and the power of compound interest. We never want to pull from retirement except for retirement. So I definitely would count your blessings and thank God for that great severance. I try to get a job as soon as possible because if you get a job as soon as possible, guess what? You're going to get double paid for a season. And when you get double paid for a season, guess what you're going to do with the second paycheck? You're going to pile it towards your debt.
Yes.
Yeah. So right now, working while you're being paid is huge, and you can get double income, even if it's not your best job, even if it's not in your desired industry. Mm-hmm. But getting double paid for a season for one job is awesome. Uh-huh. So just think through, like when you always want to free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, Proverbs 6:5, for sure. But you don't want to be able to just push a button and teleport out of the situation. You want to run. There's an action. There's a visceral feeling of knowing, you know what? I've got to go through some mess to get out of this. And you got to remember that so you never go back. But I never recommend cashing out. And I know you have some variables. You're like 14 and 14. That makes sense. I just want to say it's only 10 and 14. So they don't really match. And secondly, you're using the justification that you're young when really you being young is the best thing working for you because that 14 grand is going to work for even longer and it's going to turn into a lot of money. So that's my 2 cents, Gina.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, appreciate it. You have a good day.
You too.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
You're on Dave Ramsey's plan. You're out of debt looking to buy a home, but you've been told your entire life you need a credit score. Well, I don't want fear or misinformation to dictate your decisions. Churchill Mortgage is used to working with people just like you. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender, 761 Old Hickory Boulevard, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
Again, you can call 866-357-3283. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown. I got this email from Marshall. It says, 3 years ago, my mother-in-law set up 3 UTMAs. Okay, those are accounts for my 3 daughters, ages 11, 9, and 7. Up until a few weeks ago, I had no idea what a UTMA was, but since that time, I have fairly good idea about what it is, what it can be used for, and what happens when my girls turn 21. Each account has $25,000 to $30,000 each. Over the last 3 years, these accounts have produced very, very little in terms of dividends and returns. What would you recommend doing with these accounts? Keep them or roll them over to a 529 or an ESA? Thank you all for your help, and thanks, Marshall. I'd roll it over to an ESA for the tax benefit. An ESA is a beautiful thing. If you put $2,000 in an ESA for the 18 years of your kids growing up, you've contributed $36,000. It grows to about $120,000, and when you go to pull it out for educational reasons, you get all $120,000. All right, folks. Hey, recently, I don't know if you listened to this episode or not, but I was kind of complaining, kind of moaning. And of course, we don't do that as stewards. We're always thankful, right? And I've got my moments, and I didn't really complain. But if you're reading between the lines, I was kind of moping a little bit about the mileage on my cars. I don't know if you heard that episode. I've done it 2 or 3 times. And I was like, well, I've got one car at 130,000 miles, another one at 143,000 miles. Why do I bring that up? Because I got called out on Twitter. Yes, Jason Rowland, if you're listening in, I got your tweet and I totally get it. And I am so sorry. He tweets, he says, come on, Chris, 130,000 and 140,000 miles? And he just kind of like left it there. And then he had a picture, like of his mic drop moment, a picture of him at like 260 something. And he kind of just said, come on, you're a wimp. You're going to be just fine. You need to wait for quite a bit longer till you're up here with the big boys. So he also finished it with thanks for all you do, hashtag goals, which is very kind. Grateful people rock. And so you softened it for me. But man, you all can be convicting. So anyway, I embrace the conviction. Thank you very much. Anyway, phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Next, from Atlanta, Georgia, this is Tyler. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Yes, sir. Well, my fiance and I, we recently just got engaged, and we are getting married in February.
Way to go.
Yeah, thanks. She's pretty awesome.
What does she love most about you?
She says that I make her laugh. So yeah, before I even knew about Dave Ramsey's Baby Steps, I've always kind of been a saver, always saved up some money. So, currently I have no debt and I have saved up about $35,000, in cash. And then I have a Roth IRA as well.
Sweet.
My fiance has a car debt and student loan debt that totals about $50,000. And I guess I'm trying to just figure out, my question is, you know, how I know to start from smallest to largest as far as paying off the debt, but, you know, how much do I throw at the debt? Out of the savings that I've built up, and what's the timeline of it all with the wedding coming up and different things.
Yeah, this whole idea of you being engaged during the process and then married during half the process, that's the variable that's tripping you up a little bit.
Yes, I think so.
Well, first and foremost, you're getting married and you're dealing with this financial thing. And so you've got finances involved in this and you've got the relational component involved in this. And so what I want to do, I'm seeing that you're calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
And we've got an event that you guys desperately need to get to. And I want to give you free tickets to it.
Oh, wow.
It's called the Smart Conference and it's October 8th. It's at North Point Church in Alpharetta. And I'm going to be speaking at it. Dave Ramsey is speaking at it. Rachel Cruz, his daughter, is speaking at it. Christy Wright, Chris Hogan, all of our personalities, along with Meg Meeker, is going to be speaking there as well. She is pretty much the national voice on parenting. And Les Parrott will be there talking about marriage. Dr. Les Parrott from Seattle, who is pretty much America's voice on marriage. And all this will be in one day. On a Saturday, and you're going to be there for free. So I'm going to hook you up with that. So make sure you stay on the line after I get done with your answer that you've been very patient to wait for. And I'll hook you up with those free tickets, okay?
That sounds awesome. Thanks.
All right. So here's the deal. You've got this engaged, and then you're going to be married. Number one, you need to consider her attitude, okay? Where is she with it? You don't have to explain it to me, but where is she? Mm-hmm. Is she expecting, has she got this expectant, like you're going to just come in here and just kind of erase it all and it's just kind of a selfish kind of mentality? Or is it coming in humble and saying, you know what, you know, we've made mistakes in the past. Mine have been financial. Maybe yours have been something else. And let's attack this together. And she's just got a real good attitude about it, which she probably does. But I'd you know, those listening in, if you're in this spot, you want to make sure you consider their attitude, because in that attitude, that kind of attitude actually bleeds into other areas, and it's something you need to address before you get married. Number two, keep your finances separate pre-marriage. Okay, so don't do a thing until you actually get married.
Okay.
Now, you might want to stockpile some money and cash, you know, stockpile some cash since you're doing the investing already. That's fine. And then when you get married, you do one big chunk. That's completely fine. But don't combine finances until you're married. And the last part that I want to tell you, what do you need to do now? And that is the person with the debt, okay, your fiance, needs to clean up as much as she can before the wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to go after it as much as she can. If it were you, you need to clean up as much as you can before the wedding day. Because you need to be as committed and willing to work together to pay off whatever's left after the wedding. But before that, she needs to go out. It needs to be primary, one of her primary priorities. So anyway, I wrote an article about this. It's called What's Mine is Yours. And it's about marrying into debt. And it's at stewardship.com. We'll put it front and center for you. Check it out. Okay. You guys read through it together and kind of take the conversation from there. But stay on the line. We're going to give you these free smart conference tickets, okay?
Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. All right, folks. This whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us His way and for His glory. Now, when we get how important that is, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And I know we all have great intentions for how we give, save, and spend our money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise. That's why I recommend that everyone go through Financial Peace University. It teaches practical steps for giving, like getting rid of debt, for budgeting wisely, investing, giving generously, all of that. Financial Peace University has helped me help my family, along with 4.5 million other people, how to manage money God's way. So if you're ready to get on the best plan for your money, head over to stewardship.com right now, today, and get started with Financial Peace University. And what's so great is you can choose from all different kinds of experiences. You can take a class, which I highly recommend, you know, in a community setting. Or you can do it online, or you can do it even at home. So get started with Financial Peace University today at stewardship.com.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. You can email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com with your questions or your success stories at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Let's get back to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
You know, I was thinking, you know, obviously someone doesn't answer every single time someone calls. Sometimes you can just leave a voicemail. And I promise you, we check every single voicemail. We can't call everyone back, of course. We try, but we check every voicemail. This voicemail, you have got to hear. It's from Linda, Miss Linda, and it just really made me chuckle. But she had a really good question as well. Bob, let's play that call.
Hi, my name is Miss Linda Duffany, and I would like very much to know the scriptures for money management, and I'm enjoying the program, and so sometimes it's a little bit too close to home. You're in my laundry every day, praise the Lord, because He's really dealing with me with it, so I appreciate the program, and if I could have a list of money scriptures that I can pray over myself every day. When I go to make a purchase that I really don't need, I'll get myself on the way to total deliverance from credit card and buying things I don't need just because they're on sale. Thank you so much. God bless. Hope to hear from y'all soon.
Well, Miss Lynn, thank you so much for your call. I'm glad we're in your laundry every day. That's a new one for me. I'm assuming that's a good thing. Now let's get to your question. Well, there's 2,350 verses in the Bible about money. So it's like, which one, money and possessions. So which ones do I pick? You know, some of my favorites that are just super practical when it comes to budgeting, you know, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's one for budgeting. Another one for budgeting is at Luke 14:28. Jesus says, who would build a tower and not first sit down and count the cost, right? This whole idea of planning. And when you think about saving, Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And when it comes to getting out of debt, Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is enslaved to the lender. Romans 13:8. Says, owe no one anything except for the debt to love one another. Proverbs 6:5 says, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. You get into retirement and those kind of conversations. Proverbs 13:22 is a great one. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. When he gets into giving, oh my goodness, there are so many giving verses. It's impossible to pick, you know, I mean, it's just really hard. The one that comes to my mind right now is, because the thing I probably try to teach the most when it comes to giving is that it's not something that God wants from us. It's something that God wants for us. And so the one that comes to my mind is Proverbs 11:25, and it says, those who refresh others themselves are refreshed. If we were just to test our faith on that and get out there and give of time, of our energy, of our leadership, of our sphere of influence, of money as well, we would realize exactly how refreshing that is. If we think back to the last time we were generous, it was very refreshing. So, Ms. Linda, I hope that helps you out a little bit. Of course, you can always go to stewardship.com. We have so many resources that are there, so many verses and so many articles that can help you out that could be that little checklist for you as you go through your day-to-day. And I'm just very thankful that we're in your laundry. Twitter shout out here from Shane Adam Price, who we're celebrating with today. He tweeted, relieved to have paid off a horrendous title loan that has added $357 a month back to our cash flow. Very cool stuff. Cheering you on, Shane. That is awesome stuff. Folks, always be giving us your big and small victories, okay? Whether it be over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, email, it doesn't matter. Maybe the contact us page at stewardship.com. Just let us know. Let us celebrate with you. Well, I told you earlier that I was going to be talking to you a little bit about the posture of God's managers. And so I thought I'd do that. The posture. What does it look like to be God's man? What should it look like? And this could be a really good discussion for your Sunday school class. This could be a good discussion for your Connect group. The posture of God's managers. You guys could break this down even further. But just to get everyone's wheels turning a little bit, number one is a posture of awe, just absolute awe, this strong feeling of fear and respect and also wonder. When you look up that word, it's just this wonder, this respect, this reverence. That's the posture of a good, godly, true stewardship manager, right? There's a huge danger that we would just have a head knowledge, right? So that's where this awe comes from. It's a deep down awe that's heartfelt. James 2:19 says that even the demons believed. And so we want to make sure that we have a posture that's obviously much more relational and much more real than that. Also honored, not just awed, but honored. Honored that we're entrusted. Honored that we get to participate in God's plan A. It's a promotion for all of us. And we see the story of Genesis 37 through 50, the story of Joseph, second most powerful man in all of Egypt, but didn't own anything. But such an honor to be a part of the owner's stuff, the owner's plan, the owner's day-to-day. It's not only a story, you know, that Joseph story is not only a story of privilege, but also of responsibility, this whole idea of honor. And you think about Genesis 1, 2, and Adam and Eve, what an honor, right? And then there's also humbled. The posture of God's managers is being very humbled, a posture of humility, not entitlement. We want to imitate Christ's humility as he humbled himself before God. We see that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, Christ's humility when he came here on earth. We also want to be grateful. How can we not be grateful? You think about the Israelites complaining in the desert, right? And you're like, golly, that's crazy. Well, we do the same thing. We need to be grateful. We also need to be content. The foundation to any good relationship, the foundation to any good finances and everything really is this whole idea of contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-7, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Doesn't mean lack of ambition. Doesn't mean laziness. Doesn't mean apathy. Listen, Contentment isn't standing still. It's the condition of the heart when you're moving forward. Contentment isn't standing still. It's the condition of your heart when you're moving forward. Content. And within that contentment, you know, one thing that really helps me is to always focus on what you can control. Control only what you can control. A lot of times we're trying to be successful in our relationships. We're trying to be successful financially or with our careers. But check it out. We're called to be faithful, not successful. And we need to focus in on being faithful, not so focused on being successful. Because if we're faithful, we will be successful in God's eyes. Well, folks, it has been an absolute pleasure today. Glad that you're tuning in. Make sure that you tune in on the podcast as well when you can't get near the radio. And also take advantage of stewardship.com. Speaking of stewardship.com, the best plan for your money is there. It's called Financial Peace University. You can find out all about it at stewardship.com. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.